today I have one of South Africa's best journalists. It's Pieter Louis Myburgh, famous for getting bribes.
Astonishingly, Makhalani said that they would pay me in cash, but that I could earn even more money by bringing my own contractors to the IDT for lucrative tenders.
You took a photograph of the money they try to bribe you.
I did.
When you took out your phone and took the photo, did they cuck themselves?
The spokesperson kind of asked me if he chuckled and he was clearly very confused as well. And he asked me if I had an app on my phone that counts money.
He wants the app himself.
I'm waiting for the next bribe. It's probably going to come soon.
It's right here. There it is.
You brought it today?
I brought it today.
Okay, well, let me get that app on my phone.
Yes, it can't. Come on, there's nothing in the bag.
Is it 60K?
What? My question straight. How do you work out when people might be involved in corruption? Do you stalk them on Instagram?
There was Hendrik Verwoerd, right? So we'd done a arms deal with one of the sort of major arms suppliers at that time. And he was given a little fucking speedboat. And he was just happily sitting in, I think it's like, honestly, and this is like, you can go and find this.
You've taken on some of the most corrupt people in South Africa. How are you still alive? Do you wear bulletproof underpants? Hey, Pieter Louis, how's it going?
I'm well, Chester. Thanks so much. I haven't spoken to you in many years and I've forgotten how beautiful your eyes are. I'm sitting here mesmerized.
Thank you. I know. They're very sexy. I stole them from Helen Zilla. Oh, my God. Thank you. Who's your daddy? Not Helen.
You should run for Joburg mayor.
I will. Apparently, puppets are the only ones who can get a job as Joburg mayor. God. Shame. Dada Mora. Listen, who the hell calls himself Dada? Listen, you're a journalist.
Sugar Dada.
Exactly. Sugar Dada. He's quite literally Joburg Sugar Dada. You're a journalist at the online newspaper Daily Maverick. Are you aware that the name Daily Maverick makes it sound like you're a strip club?
Look, if that makes the money come in, by all means, we have to fund journalism. So if I have to take my top off and do a pole dance, I'm in.
Let's go. Let's do it now. Do it!
Where's the pole? Where's the pole?
Where's the pole? There's one right there.
God, what have I gotten myself into now?
Into a bribe. You've exposed yourselves and the truth. Listen, that lady, Teboho Malaka, sent a spokesperson to negotiate the corruption for her in that famous video. That was wild.
It was wild. Isn't it wonderful that, you know, we've got these opportunities to have dual roles? So you can be a spokesperson and a fixer. So Mr. Makhalani absolutely operated as the CEO's fixer in that scenario. And I'm not sure if he gets compensated for that role. I'm sure he does. I mean, there's clearly money going around. So good for him. Yeah.
Do you think that's part of the job application these days? You need to know Excel, answer emails, and negotiate bribes.
Absolutely. You have to be able to count very large amounts of money in a quick, short space of time.
Job said, I can assess 10,000 rand by sight.
Yeah, I think maybe in the interview, they probably do a little test run, you know, dump a couple of wads of cash in front of you and let's go, count
let's
it.
Let's do it.
See what is that.
Yeah. Let's do it. Listen, you turned down 60,000 rand from a public official. How did you reach that number?
So that number wasn't actually agreed upon. Look, so I was in conversation with the spokesperson / fixer for a couple of months beforehand, leading up to that moment. And it was always very vaguely. So they suggested that I would be getting a goodwill or some sort of a token payment.
And they called it a payment. Why did they frame it?
Yeah, it was never sort of like defined
in
terms of a figure. And then they kind of like just arrived with the money. But I think it's very important to remember, because it speaks to like what goes on at these organizations. That was just a small little sort of token payment. Remember, the big deal was for me to get tenders from the IDT.
Oh, you're going to get tenders?
They said I could bring tenders.
Oh my God,
and now we're looking at
hilarious.
That's the multi-million rand deals, right? So that's actually the main deal, right? Yeah. What an idiot.
And didn't you take the tender?
I said no. Can you believe it?
Look, you're an idiot.
Clearly, some people aren't destined for mega riches. Look, that's
I know what happened.
There we go.
You knew you're a white guy, and if they see you got a tender, no one's going to buy it.
Hey, we could have fronted. You know,
there's a
business model for that.
To get the tender for you. No, listen, 60 grand is a lot of money. It's almost 2 gigs of data from Vodacom.
And it doesn't expire, right?
Well, you say that. What amount of money would have made you say yes?
So, quite honestly, no amount of money.
You lying bastard! $10 million in an offshore bank account with a lifetime supply of Vaseline is what you should have said.
Look, I can honestly say with a very straight face, there is no amount of money in that context that would have made me say yes. And the reason for that is, remember, this story is about 1,000 or 2,000 EPWP workers who didn't get their cash after like their very hard, back-breaking work. There's just no figure.
What's 10 EPWP?
Million, 10 billion. There's no figure that will make me, you know, that will assuage my conscience I wouldn't be able to sleep. So,
well, that's good. We need South Africans that. We need South Africans like that. What is EPWP?
That's expanded public.
Oh, of course, expanded public works program.
So that's
right. The poorest people are getting stolen from by these bastard scumbags, and you exposed it. And we're grateful for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So this is the story. Remember that they wanted to quash by bribing me. So there was this deal with the Colin Mashawana Foundation. They were supposed to pay these poor workers, the EPWP guys, and they didn't get the money. And Malaka, the CEO, was getting her waterfall mansion being built with funding that came from the Colin Mashawana Foundation.
So listen, this Colin Mashawana tried to take you to court to stop you exposing the story.
He did, absolutely.
Urgent, what a sleazy scumbag.
Urgent interdict application.
Put the dict into interdict.
He absolutely did. So it shows, luckily, I think that little episode, is that our court system still works very well in South Africa. We have to highlight things that work in this country. Our judiciary still works. There wasn't
that's great.
Urgent application. It was very farcical and very ill-founded and ill-considered, and a court found as such.
They said, Futsak, get out of here, you sleazy bastard.
We have free
scumbag.
Speech in this country. We've got solid journalism. It's in the public interest. Take your urgent interdict and go try again somewhere else.
My suggestion is, if you do want to get a bribe, ask for a huge amount of money, $10 million, and then ask for Vaseline as well, because people will be so busy wondering why the Vaseline, they'll forget about the money. And then, Peter Louis, if you get arrested, you've already got Vaseline. I'm out!
That's very ominous sounding. I want to stay as far away from a South African prison as possible.
No, so I agree.
Don't put that image in my mind.
No. Well, it's in there now. Who's your daddy? Senzo Mkhunu's your daddy. Listen, you took a photograph of the money they try to bribe you.
I did.
After the cash had been placed on the table, I casually photographed it for our records.
When you took out your phone and took the photo, did they cuck themselves?
So it was a very spur-of-the-moment decision, because I wanted to make sure we had the evidence that this was money. So the people that we'd appointed for the security footage, that those kind of cameras are sometimes grainy. It's kind of like small hidden camera things. I was just worried that all we would have was a item being placed on the table. So I knew I had to document the fact that this was money, cash, South African currency, which is why I did that. And the spokesperson kind of asked me if he chuckled, and he was clearly very confused as well. And he asked me if I had an app on my phone that counts money.
He wants the app himself. he's stressed up how much money has to count.
I'm going to register the IP on that.
And
I
when he said that, did you say yes?
I just kind of like chuckled and said, no, it's just like for my records or what. I don't know, I mumbled something.
For your records?
Because I knew the meeting was kind of done. You know, I just kind of like mumbled something, and I knew I was going to give the money back and walk away.
And then you just walked away?
I just walked away, yeah.
Did you say anything as you walked away?
I said that, sorry guys, I never intended taking this money. This was for me to document the fact that this kind of shenanigans does go on at entities like the IDT, and that people as senior as the likes of the CEO do participate in these kind of schemes. And it was always going to be a journalistic project to catch you guys red-handed. I'm not taking the money. Here's the cash. I'm out of here. That's what I said.
I think you could have said something way more wild. You should have been like, I got you, suckers. I'm out. Yeah, bitches for life.
I'll work on the cool exit for the next one.
Or make it something confusing. Make it something confusing. Like, I'm a Corsi for life. And let them sit wondering if you're fundraising for football.
I'm just very worried that this is a once-off kind of gig. You know, I wonder who's going to offer me money for the next one. But this is South Africa. You never know.
No, they're not. They don't know. If they'd done the research, they would have realized you're not bribable to start with. So
the thing is, but we know
it's going to happen again.
They don't do the research. I think there's pockets of criminality out there who probably don't even consume the news. So I'm waiting for the next bribe. It's probably going to come soon.
It's right here. There it is.
You brought it today?
I brought it today.
Okay, well, let me get that app on my phone. I just want to make sure.
Come on, there's nothing in the bag.
Is it 60K?
What were you expecting from a puppet show? How do you work out when people might be involved in corruption? Do you stalk them on Instagram? Do you send them a Facebook friend request?
Look, lifestyle considerations is sometimes a giveaway. So on Instagram, when they flaunt tremendous wealth and they are flashy cars and big houses, and that is out of sync with the salary that they're supposed to earn from these state-owned entities or government departments, then that is a bit of a red flag. And that is, at that moment, you start to dig a bit deeper and check if there's involvement in government deals, in contracts, in tenders, etc., which is where, you know, an existing database of contacts is so necessary for us as journalists. There are people that I can consult who operate in those spaces, and they'll give me a bit of info on, hey, you know, the CEO at that entity, she is actually known to be a little bit on the dodgy side, and we kind of like take it from there, get the documents, actual forensic evidence backs up our work. So it's not a thumbsuck. It is not allegation-based journalism. This is all evidence-based forensic journalism that kind of drives home these stories.
How long does it take you to get from, I think, Teboho Malaka might be corrupt, to, oh my God, here we are in Stellenbosch with 60,000 rand in an envelope?
So that's a good question. It took from getting that tip off in late 2024, say like October, November, thereabouts, all the way through to June 2025.
So that's quite fast. That's 6 months or so.
Yeah, thereabouts. But I mean, like in the current sort of like fast-paced news domain or news environment, that is a very long period of time. Very few news organizations have the funding and the patience.
Yeah, that's the problem.
To back you guys these are doing kind of it investigations. For
nothing. It's basically a charity gig.
At the moment, sort of. And Daily Maverick needs the money. We have to start driving home.
Send
this point.
The Daily Maverick money because everyone thinks they're a strip club. And look at this guy. If he was your stripper, you'd ask for your money back. Yeah, let's be honest.
Absolutely. And again, we are willing to strip if you're willing to pay. We'll do it.
Oh my God.
We need to fund this journalism. Go on.
We'll take our clothes off and expose other people.
Let's go. Where's my colleagues? Rebecca Davis, Marion Tum.
They're coming.
Everybody.
Yeah, two lesbians in a row. That's great. Listen, you wrote the book on state capture. You're like the state capture guru. You're exposing state capture, what Musi Maimane is to not getting votes. Can you explain how the state got captured?
So the state got captured, and there's a couple of important points to raise here. So we know the Guptas captured the South African government that was run by President Jacob Zuma, right?
Yeah.
And state capture, in effect, is just a very institutionalized, long-term form of corruption that's very much entrenched. It's a long play. So the Guptas came here and they very purposefully captured the Jacob Zuma government, people around them, pay them money. We know that now from the Gupta leaks, from information that came out from the Zondo Commission. They bought a government and made it dance to their tune, which means for them to clinch massive contracts, obviously. But we should keep in mind, it has been framed that in South Africa, state capture was only, you know, something perpetrated by the Gupta family. It was not the case.
Yeah.
They were, in a sense, the poster children of state capture because of their very sort of public shenanigans, the Waterkloof landing, those kind of things. But they operated within an entire milieu in which state capture was flourishing in South Africa, involving a huge host of other actors. Bosasa, state captors in the Free State province, in KZN, actors who are still currently involved in the state capture sort of scheme in South Africa and who haven't been dealt with. So, yes, the Guptas were very big players in that domain, but they weren't the only state capture operators in South Africa.
Let's take that example. Ace Magashule gave literally everyone we knew a tender. We know that from your book, Gangster State. That's why his name is Ace. He held all the cards. Can you explain how he captured the Free State? Because that's not necessarily, obviously, like the same as capturing the whole of Eskom. Now this guy's going to Paris, the fake Paris, and then they were buying Gupta newspapers. How does that go down? So a counselor gets told by Ace he needs to do what he's got to do. How come nobody stood up to that?
Absolutely, because I think the patronage is so effective that, you know, if you are offered money, and we clearly know this now also from information that came out from the Zondo Commission, etc., in that whole kind of environment, you know, in that domain, the patronage flows through to counselors, to decision makers within provincial government departments, your CFOs, your procurement officials, etc. The state capture is so vast and pernicious and entrenched that there's enough money flowing to everybody involved to keep them happy. And this is what makes it so disturbing, that for many, many years, yes, there were people who were opposed to it. There were whistleblowers and officials who kind of cried out and cried foul and raised the alarm, but they were the exception and they weren't listened to. Because frequently in the captured environment, the watchdogs are also captured. The police, other sort of criminal law enforcement bodies, etc., won't take their complaints seriously. And this is how state capture operates. You know, it's a vast, interconnected criminal enterprise involving rent extraction from state departments in provinces like the Free State, all over South Africa, other provinces too. And that was just kind of one scenario that I...
No, but that's what was brilliant about your book, right? Mm. You must go read it if you haven't. Gangster State describes how it happens in micro detail, not just the big things, it's the small things.
Exactly.
Like this whole Parais, how much was it? 3 million rand a year or something on the Gupta's New Age newspaper, is that correct?
Exactly. So, that's a very good example to highlight. So the Gupta's, for some reason, because
what do they put in a Gupta newspaper? lies, and more lies is basically one-ply toilet paper. So can you explain for these people watching how that would go down? What happened in Parais?
It's a very good model to highlight. So the Guptas very shrewdly saw Ace Magashule and some of the other premiers. Remember, we had that formation, the Premier League, involving Ace Magashule and also Supramo Mapelo and Mpumalanga's premier. And they kind of knew that those three premiers, being in that pact with Jacob Zuma, they were going to open the coffers of provinces like the Free State, you know? They could get in there and then get those contracts.
Yeah.
And there was the advertising and there was the Frieda scandal and all those kind of dealings involving the Guptas. And with the newspaper model, it's very interesting because it works on two levels here. You get the propaganda, you get the sort of the pro-government propaganda.
Oh, right, yeah, that's
right?
True.
That's and it goes out in the newspaper. It's a very uncritical reporting on the Ace Magashule.
Completely uncritical.
Government.
It basically was a newspaper that stuck its head up Jacob Zuma's ass on a daily basis.
It did.
It was like a suppository you could read.
Yeah, and then it's also, and the kickback to them is it's a rent extraction vehicle because they get all that multi-million rand government advertising as well in the papers. All those state departments that advertise there en masse, including in the Free State, which is how the Guptas kind of like got that paper off the ground.
You're watching what's going on in America where they've got the Oros man slash Anarchy running the country. Does that look like state capture to you?
It absolutely looks like state capture to me. I think Donald Trump is probably the most conniving, calculated state captors we've seen. And we'll probably find out more details.
Well, Jacob Zuma, you just got knocked off the perch by a professional.
It's a second.
Sorry for you.
Someone's
going to say you're racist about this, by the way.
No, the fact, is it because he's orange? I'm so sorry.
Is it because I'm orange? I'm out.
I'm so sorry, Donald.
Look,
the fact is, there's information coming out. It's already been published. I'm not just speculating. I mean, like, very respected publications have detailed how government funding is finding its way to Donald Trump associates. I mean, that is state capture.
That's state capture.
That is state capture.
It's state capture. Ace Magashule is going to have to catch up.
Yeah.
Peter Louis Myburg, state capture is like Steve Hofmeyr's music career. It started during apartheid. In fact, the Dutch East India Company and Cecil John Rhodes, where really we've always been captured, if you look at it from that perspective. So since democracy, has it stayed the same or has it gotten worse, would you say?
Yeah.
Bear in mind, you will be cancelled immediately if you get this answer wrong.
I mean, our country, it's such a fascinating country. You're so right to point it out. I mean, like, if you're a close student of history and you study what happened here under, you know, the likes of Simon van der Stel, for instance, you know, that was absolutely, the VOC operated like a cartel. There was nepotism. There were kickbacks, you know, so we have a very well-entrenched state capture system in South Africa. And obviously, what people seem to forget very quickly is that the apartheid regime, we called it something else back in the day, maybe, but a lot of those government transactions were kind of founded on state capture-esque principles.
Yeah.
Channeling funding to connected cronies, channeling vast amounts of money outside of the country. A lot of this is documented in Apartheid Guns and Money. It's a fantastic
book. Go read the book, Apartheid,
Guns,
and Money.
There's a shout out there. And then it kind of
I like the way you say apartheid. It's like there's a dripping of apartheid.
It's apartheid.
I like it.
You put an extra roll on the R. Let's not soften
respect.
The blow. It's apartheid.
You're not fucking around. You're saying the word like it was written.
And then sort of like that is, that torch is handed over to a democratic South African. We just go on. There's a brief hiatus. You know, there's this moment where the Nelson Mandela government does seem to steer us in the right direction. And for a bit of time, the Thabo Mbeki government too. But, you know, then we have this arms deal issue. And then from there
back
on, the wheels are just off again.
Yeah. Thales. I read that Thales actually threw money towards P.W. Botha's people. So they were literally there with those guys. And then they came to Jacob Zuma, the French people.
Surprise. Can
the
I
French
tell you an amazing
corruption.
Story quickly? Like, talk about like arms deals and kickbacks and things like that. I once found an old newspaper. I think it dates from the 60s or 70s. And there was Hendrik Verwoerd. Right. So we'd done a arms deal with one of the sort of major arms suppliers at that time. And he was given a little fucking speedboat.
Oh my God.
And he was just happily sitting. And I think it's like, honestly, and this is like, you can go and find this.
Let's get a speedboat.
Right. And they like, they did it so openly.
No wonder
then.
His hair. Can you imagine his hair in a right? speedboat?
Yeah, I think it was like on a Valdam somewhere. And there's Hendrik Verwoerd in a little speedboat gifted to him by this arms company. Right.
Because, you
and
know, apartheid wasn't corrupt at all.
Exactly. Yeah. But it just kind of shows you that they were also so uncritical in terms of how ethically unsound that is, that they just kind of like, they weren't worried that a newspaper photographer sort of photographed him.
Let's remember, Peter Louis Myburgh, 50 years ago, where would you have been as a journalist?
Well,
in jail.
Or my offices.
Oh,
yeah.
So in jail, you wouldn't have stand it. Yeah, you would have been in the brown paper.
Or my offices would have been blown out. Ask Freya Wekblad. That's
exactly.
Also,
yeah, Gempela. Listen, you've taken on some of the most corrupt people in South Africa. How are we still alive? Do you wear bulletproof underpants?
Well, I think that's the last area they're going to aim for. So the underpants is maybe I should get a vest. I'm extra vigilant, but you know, I'm not under 24-hour protection. Like sometimes I am when I move around in certain events or at certain times of the day, there is some security. But typically, I mean, yeah, we do have people in the background looking after our security. And we,
I bloody hope so, man.
We call them up when needed. So, you know, we
and they come over. With their bulletproof underpants.
They've got the bulletproof underpants. Yeah, and the bullets.
Do you ever look at the police and then go, I wrote where the corrupt people are days ago. Why haven't you put them in jail already?
I do. I mean, we do. It's kind of like a back channel conversation sometimes.
Do they WhatsApp you and go, please do our job for us?
If they want to outsource this, they could just like put some money in the Daily Maverick kitty and we'll do their work for them.
Oh, yeah, they see, he's against brown paper envelopes, but the Daily Maverick kitty, wink, wink, nudge, coffee fund.
This is transparent. This is absolute. This will be used for journalistic endeavors. So, I mean, like we do interact with police and it's all in the interest of ensuring that these public interest issues are actually investigated. I've reached a point where I'm not holding my breath anymore, unfortunately.
No, you would be dead. If you held your breath until the Madlanga Commission gets done in 6 months from Ramaphosa's birthday is. Peter Louis Myburgh, you were absolutely brilliant. Thank you for coming through. Keep saying no to bribes, but if you do, go higher and ask for Vaseline. That's my advice.
Just a fact. You're my second favorite puppet after Paul Mashatile.
Joke, and I'm not the one with the house in Waterfall. You were brilliant. Guys, make sure you subscribe, like, and all those things. This is a real problem with Chester missing. Bye.